In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and great to be with you. We always like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many beautiful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And at the end of the Rosary, we pray the beautiful prayer, and that is the Hail Holy Queen. In that, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us. As we say the prayer that Mary loves most, and that's the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite to our Perseverance family our spiritual director. How grateful and humble we are that we have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to be with us. There are many titles that describe the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well as the lives of others and in the church itself. This Holy Spirit is actually the soul of the church. It's also known as the Paraclete. He's also the gift of gifts. The Holy Spirit is also the sweet guest of the soul. He's also known as the counselor. He's also known as our consoler. He's also known as our interior master. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's pray the traditional prayer of the Holy Spirit. And pray that He'll give us a lot of light and the interior fire of love in our hearts. As we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Anthony Mary Claret, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. all God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome, my friends, and Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, in our Perseverance Family Conversation. Invite you and invite others to be part of our family. In the very heart of our family is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, our desire to get closer to them and to get to heaven. That's basically why we're here. And to bring as many people to heaven as possible, starting with our family members, our children, and our spouses. So, as always, after praying with you, I encourage you by promising to pray for you in the Mass that will be celebrated this evening in honor of St. Anthony Mary Claret. And I'd like to offer these intentions. First, that all of us would be open to the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification, our growth in holiness depends in large part on being open to the Holy Spirit, being docile to the Holy Spirit. We can say this prayer, Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be I'd like to pray that all of us would be the best teachers that we can. By being parents, you are assuming the responsibility, even the day you get married, before you have children, to teach your children in the way of the gospel, to follow Christ, to be good Christian Catholics. That means that we have to constantly work on our permanent formation. In a Perseverance Family Conversation, our talk will be talking about the Word of God. We'll be talking about often some catechetical doctrinal issue. We'll often talk about the saints because those are the ones who really put into practice. They put into practice the Word of God. So I'd like to pray that all of us would make a real concerted effort to grow in the knowledge of our faith, so that we can share our faith with others, starting at home. Because charity begins at home. The next intention will be, I'd like to pray for the conversion of sinners. Especially like to pray for the conversion of deathbed sinners. Those who will be dying within the next few hours. Especially those who are far away from God. And that we would all have a holy and happy death. The grace of all graces, according to St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. So let's pray that those will pass from this life to the next, from time to eternity, to be judged by Christ, that now that they would open up their hearts to His infinite mercy, and His mercy is indeed infinite. All right, my friends, so let's enter into our topic for today. We have two wonderful readings. We have a great saint who really lived out the Word of God in a very full way. We're going through, as we were last week, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He says, be kind to one another. That can be our motto for today. Let's try to be kind to each other. Try to be kind to your husband. Try to be kind to your children. Try to be kind to the people that you meet today. Try to be kind to those who are maybe not kind to you. The opposite of being kind is meanness. And by means of literary resources, I would invite all of you, if you could, to purchase the book with the title Kindness. And this book is written by Father Lawrence Lavasic, Sophia Press, which Father Lavasic talks about different ways of being kind, but also ways in which we can sin against kindness. So what I'd like to do is, entering into our topic, I'd like to tell you a story from Father Lavasic's book on kindness. He speaks about the fact that we should try to be kind in all ways, but also kind in the way we speak. The kind in the way we speak to others. So he's got a story on how we can sin against kindness through sins of the tongue. This is the story. I think this story will touch many of us. It tells the story of this woman. Her name was Sylvia, who lived in Chicago. In the first part of her life, she lived a very sinful, scandalous life. But she underwent a conversion. And Sylvia had talents, especially musical talents. So Sylvia moved from Chicago to Los Angeles. And she had undergone a conversion, but had had such, quite a checkered past, a promiscuous life, we might say. So she comes to Los Angeles, and she finds a parish that she liked. And she offers her service in the music ministry. I think it was playing the organ as well as singing. Almost immediately, the people fell in love with Sylvia. She was kind. She was joyful. She was loving. She was a gifted musician. She sang well. In other words, the people really liked this new addition to their parish. But then there was a change of events. And it happened in this way. There was a woman that had lived in Chicago, knowing about Sylvia's past life. So she came and found herself in the same parish as Sylvia in Los Angeles. She looked at Sylvia playing the organ. She had all these bad memories of Sylvia. So she started to speak evil about Sylvia. We call that defamation. And Sylvia noticed that the people started to distance themselves from her, to avoid her, to shun her, such that this warm, loving welcome that she received had been shut off. She simply didn't understand why. Till one day she had the courage to go to the pastor and say, "Look, Father, when I arrived, I was so warmly welcomed by the people here. Now I'm being shunned and avoided." The pastor said, "Well, Sylvia, someone came in and started to talk to the people about your past life. Many have said that they prefer that you no longer play the organ in our masses. You can leave." Sylvia was so shocked, dumbfounded, because of this change of events, that she fell into a pit of depression. She went out. She threw herself off a bridge and she killed herself, committing suicide. All of this came to a head because one woman started to badmouth Sylvia, even though Sylvia was converted. So that story I've told you so that we would try to practice in our lives kindness. Kindness in many ways. But let's try to be kind in the way we speak to others and about others. Remember the golden rule. Do to others what you'd like them to do to you. Say to others what you'd like them to say about you. Jesus said, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Let your conversation be yes, yes, no, no. Beyond that comes from the evil spirit. Jesus also says that we will be judged in every word that comes out of our mouth. So let's take that one biblical verse of St. Paul where he says, "Be kind to one another." Compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. That's the message. Responsorial psalm is, "Behave like God as his very dear children." Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." It is a shocking story, but it's an eye-opener for us to be careful about what we say. Think and pray before we speak. So I'd like to move into the gospel, and then I'd like to spend a little bit of time on the saint that we celebrate today. The gospel today is from Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. You can see in Jesus' public life, he's preaching abundantly. He's carrying out miracles over nature and miracles of healing. Then we see our Lord in conflict with the devil. We see those three things, at least implicitly, in the gospel today. So Jesus goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he would go on the Sabbath in the synagogue to, especially to preach the word of God. Right away, it catches his eye. There's this woman that's been suffering for many, many years. Many, many years, and under the dominion of Satan, because Satan was also responsible for the suffering of this woman. And it was a woman that was bent over, you might say, like a hunchback. Our Lord had great compassion on this woman. He approaches her, and he lays his hands on her. So, immediately, the woman stands up straight. She's healed immediately by Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's filled with love and compassion and concern. And we see him as the divine physician. Now, once again, we encounter the synagogue official. Among these are the Pharisees that are focused only upon the external and not the heart. And he says, there are 7 days during the week, but do not heal on the Sabbath. Our Lord responds very forcefully. He says, you hypocrites, how many of you have a beast of burden? You not lead him out to water him on the Sabbath. He said that this woman who has been bondage from Satan for 18 years, ought she not have been set free on the Sabbath? So when he said this, his adversaries, they were totally humiliated. But the people rejoiced at the splendid deeds that Jesus carried out. So from this passage, let's beg for the Ignatian grace. Intimate knowledge of Christ. That we love him more ardently and follow him more closely. So we see Jesus as teacher. We see Jesus as healer. We see Jesus as the divine physician. We see him as liberating this woman from the bondage of the devil. We see him filled with love and kindness and compassion, which we encounter in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So pray that we would not be blinded by our own hypocrisy. Ask the Lord to heal us of our blindness. Because I think we all have blind spots we don't see with absolute clarity. And the Holy Spirit, little by little, can start to take those blinders off our eyes so that we can see with the eyes of faith. And let's go to Christ today also. He is the divine physician. He is the divine physician. Let's pray that he would heal us of our wounds. And we have many of them. Let's pray also that Christ would heal our family members. Let's pray for those who really need healing, that they would recognize their need for healing and not live by being blinded by their own passions or their own sins. Because the purpose of Jesus is coming is he came to save us from the sin, devil, and all that is evil. So, my friends, I'd like to spend a little bit of time on the saint we celebrate today and see how this saint really imitated Christ. Christ is really the good shepherd of the sheep. We're his flock. But also, we are called, my friends, we are called to become good shepherd to our sheep, as was St. Anthony Marie Claret. The secret for us in becoming good shepherds to our sheep is that first we have to be a good sheep of the good shepherd. Understanding the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." So the saint that we celebrate today, his name is Saint Anthony, and he added another word, Marie Claret, because he had great devotion to Mary. Saint Anthony Marie Claret. Let's talk briefly about this saint. I think that we talk about kindness. Of all the saints, this is one of the most kind saints that we could meet. People were just impressed by his kindness. But evil people hated him. Even though our Lord was very kind, look at the reaction of the Pharisees. They got angry because he was doing good. So we shouldn't be surprised if we are following Christ, we're kind, we're compassionate, we're merciful, that at times we will encounter opposition. The last beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So let's beg for the grace to be able to imitate the saints in their life of virtue. So what about this Anthony Marie Claret? He was born in Spain in the year 1807, December 23rd. He died today October 24th. 1870. So he lived to be almost 63 years of age. He's canonized in the year 1950, the same year that the Immaculate Conception was, the Assumption of Mary was proclaimed. He's a patron of weavers and savings and banks. Interesting. So he was brought up in a big family. He was the fifth of 11 children. Often you see in the lives of the saints, they come from big families. When you see families, husbands and wives are generous, God will often give them a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life. His earliest memories later on as a child was the family would pray the rosary and going to church. I'd like to tell you one anecdote in his life that left an indelible impression upon him all the days of his life. And it was the following. As a child, he was very, very open to God. That's right. As a child, he was very, very open to God. In one occasion, he was in church, and there was a priest that was giving preaching in the church. And Anthony was listening very attentively. And the preacher was preaching on the topic of eternity. And when we say eternity, the eternity would be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Those words in Spanish, siempre, 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 forever and ever and ever and ever. So Anthony Claret thought about this. Forever and ever and ever. He related those words forever and ever and ever and ever to the topic that I've been preaching to you for many years in my spiritual exercises program on the last things. Eschatology. The reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, but all this related to the reality of eternity. Death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, and eternity. And he reflected on this. For me, my destiny will come as soon as I die. And he went on to say that, thinking as a child, that if I live a bad life and I end up by dying in mortal sin, because we're free, God has given us freedom, he's not going to force us to do anything. If I end up by dying in mortal sin, then I will be destined to hell and to torture, not for a day or 2 days, but forever and ever and ever. The other side of the coin would be if I live a life of great holiness. That's right, a life of great holiness. in which I obey the commandments, I love God, I try to do God's will at all times, then when I die, I will be saved, and I will be with God forever in heaven. That thought of forever and ever and ever and ever and ever left an indelible impression upon him, such that at night he would sometimes not be able to sleep because he'd be like piling time blocks one upon another and thinking, well, maybe eternity will end. Maybe. But no. Another person was strongly impressed by the concept of eternity was Jacinta Martel, one of the children of Fatima. One of the children of Fatima, especially after Jacinta with Lucia and Francisco, after they had that vision of hell, which was July 13th, 1917, once they saw the fire of hell, the souls damned in hell, the devils present there, the torture, the unending suffering and torture and torments, Jacinta would talk to Lucia and said, but Lucia, it's going to end sooner or later, right? Lucia said, no. Oh, but after 100 years? No. How about after 200 years? No. How about after 500 years? No. How about after 1,000 years? And Lucia said to Jacinta, no, it's really never going to end. Those who are condemned to hell will be there for all eternity. Their torment and suffering will be excruciating, and they'll never get out. So that thought of eternity motivated little Jacinta. Little Jacinta to offer herself as a little victim soul to save as many souls as possible by her prayers, rosaries, sacrifices, sufferings that God sent, and sufferings and penances that she imposed upon herself. So I thought I'd tell you that anecdote in the life of St. Anthony Marie Claret, because it kind of set the stage for the rest of his life. And one of the reasons why he worked so hard as priest and preacher, founder, missionary, is because he knew the stakes were very high. He knew that life ends abruptly for many souls, and either they're saved or damned. So he would do all he possibly can to be a means, a bridge by which many souls would be saved, and indeed he was. He did so much good. Related to this topic, the preacher who preached on eternity also said, we should ask ourselves, before doing something, how does this action relate to eternity? Is this action I'm going to carry out going to draw me closer to heaven or to hell? Is this action that I'm carrying out, is it going to bring people closer to God or to distance them from God? So those two ideas. Eternity. And my life and these actions, is this going to serve as a purpose to get me closer to my end, which is heaven? Jesus would put it this way. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? Also, our Lord would say, Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given you beside. Seek God first and His righteousness, and everything else will be given you beside. About 2 months ago, there was actually a movie that came out on St. Anthony Mary Claret in the public theaters only for about 2 days. Pretty well done. One night in Spanish, the other one night in English. He's a saint in which many of the anecdotes in his life serve as teaching tools. So that one in eternity, I thought that I would lay that on your heart. I'd like to tell you another anecdote in his life when he was a child. Anthony, as a child, he was a very good child, obedient, loving, prayerful. And very interesting, he had a great love for his mother, such that whatever the mother prepared that he eat, he always liked it. His mother never knew what his favorite meal was. Because whatever she prepared, he liked. How different from modern children. How modern children are so demanding that if they don't like it, they won't eat it, and they want to go to McDonald's, huh? We live in a certain sense in a spoiled generation where people are dying of hunger. But also related to his mother, and he had a very good relationship with his mother and his father. Even as a child now, I'd like you to pay attention to this other anecdote in his life. But I'd like to precede this by an Ignatian concept. In St. Ignatius, one of the rules for discernment can be summarized as the rule of agere contra. Agere contra means to, when we're tempted to do something that's wrong against God's will, agere contra means to react intensely against that tendency or temptation we have. So, if we're tempted to be lazy, we get up a little bit earlier. We're tempted to overeat, we eat a little bit less. We're tempted to be impetuous or sharp, then we hold our tongue. We're tempted to be avaricious, we're content with less. We're tempted to complain, we praise and thank God. This is called the Ignatian concept of agere contra, not to give in. Not to give in to our bad fallen tendencies, but to do the exact opposite. Now, in the life of Anthony Claret, this anecdote I've always found to be fascinating. In his childhood, as mentioned, he had a very good rapport with his parents. But the devil tempted him. And the devil tempted him to hate his mother. That's right. The devil tempted him to have just a hatred for his mother. A revulsion, a repugnance toward his mother. And it was a great source of suffering for this child. Now, today when children don't like their mother and their father, they tell them right to their face. They don't hold it back. Not so in the case of St. Anthony Mary Claret. What he did was, actually, the more he was tempted against his mother, the more kind he was to his mother. St. Paul says, be kind to each other. That's the message to St. Paul today. Be kind and compassionate to each other. That's exactly what Anthony Mary Claret did to his mother, when he's tempted to do the exact opposite. In his autobiography that he wrote at the end of his life, Under Obedience, he said he told this to his confessor, and the confessor said, well, what do you do? What do you do when you're tempted to dislike or even hate your mother? And he said, I try to be doubly kind to her. Twice as kind to her as I would normally be. So we see in this child the working of God's grace. The working of God's grace. The working of God's grace. This was God working directly in the soul of this child, but he had a very good environment that he was brought up and raised. His parents were poor, but very hard working. But his parents would pray the rosary and go to church. So Saint Tom excuse me. St. Thomas Aquinas says that grace does not destroy nature, but builds upon it. Anthony Claret had a very solid human formation as a child, a very solid human formation as a child, thanks to good parents. I invite all of us to learn from the lives of the saints. To learn from the lives of the saints. That in our lives, we will have this dynamic of what happened in the child Anthony Mary Claret. In that we will be tempted by the enemy to sin. And often what happens when we've got, say for example, when someone maybe offends us. Maybe someone hurts us. Like in our family setting, someone says something that's unkind to us, that hurts. The natural fallen nature that we've all inherited from Adam and Eve. And because of this overweening pride that we all have, the natural reaction is eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Even Stephen, you did that to me, you're going to get your own. I'm going to give you your own medicine. Face it, that's the way we are because of our fallen human nature. People hurt us, we want to hurt them back. But what you might do today, in honor of St. Anthony Mary Claret, is the following. When someone hurts you, maybe stop and reflect, because often it's our fallen nature that reacts first. Maybe stop, reflect, and pray, and then act. That can save us a lot of anguish. Given that we're in the month of Mary, and Anthony Mary Claret had great devotion to Mary. Great devotion to Mary. All his life. There's so much more I'd like to tell you about this saint, but I think I'll tell you just maybe one more anecdote in his life. Then we'll pray to him and pray to Mary that we would really grow to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now he's a young man, and he gets sick. And he's confined to bed. And he's tempted against the virtue of chastity. Temptation is very strong. What he does is he cries out to Mary. He asks Mary to help him in this battle. So what happens is the more fervently he cries out to Mary, it seems as if the more powerful is the temptation. But he doesn't give up in his prayer. He doesn't give up. But he prays all the more fervently. And then the Blessed Mother appears to him and says, "Those who resist temptation, because my friends, our life is a constant battleground. Those who resist temptation, they will win the crown." As we had yesterday, St. Paul says, "I have competed, I have won the race. I have merited the crown." After St. Paul suffered so much, like Anthony Mary Claret, his life was a life of great suffering too. St. Paul says that he had competed, he had run the race, he had won the race. We are all, my friends, in the spiritual marathon, running for the purpose of saving our souls and the souls of others too. That's the call of the King. So he prayed very fervently to the Blessed Mother, and she said, "If you reject this temptation and you follow God and follow me, I will reward you." He called out to her. He rejected the temptation. Then he saw, it was like a number of demons. They're hissing. At the end of his bed, and then they recoiled from him. And Mary obtained for him the grace of great purity of life. Now more than ever, I think we have to call out to Mary and pray to St. Anthony, Mary, Claret, and the great saints, that we would not throw in the towel, but rather that we would fight the good fight, and that we would win the crown of glory that God has prepared for those who love Him. So, my friends, I just gave you the introduction to the life of Saint Anthony Mary Claret. So let's beg for these graces today. That mentioned that that invitation let us pray that we ourselves would be kind, that we would be loving. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello?
Again?
Hi.
Ed?
Yes.
Hi. I'm in Florida. I have a quick question.